with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. So I've often thought of Lewis and Clark as I've been out camping or in a big set of woods out in nature. And I think about them and their expedition. They were sent by Thomas Jefferson at the turn of the 19th century, so the early 1800s, 1802, I think, to do an expedition that started in southern Illinois and moved its way all the way to Oregon. And so there's a few purposes for that. We're trying to make sure that we had a stable hold and authority over the land that we had in case some of the other European coloners came in and wanted some of that land. Also trying to figure out direct paths, the most direct path or paths that would get us from one side of the country, the middle of the country, to the other after this new Louisiana Purchase. And so we can imagine, you know, if we use our imagination a little bit, just how treacherous that journey would have been before anything was cleared out for them to get through. It is incredible just being out in the woods of Michigan or out west, how difficult it can be to just get from one spot to another, how taxing on the body it is to go up major landscapes, not in the Midwest, but in the West, is just getting up an actual mountain to get across to go somewhere. Or if there is a valley that just dips and there's no other way around. We even have in our area certain rivers that make us have much longer times on our commutes to work because we have to go around. And forget about the mosquitoes alone that Lewis and Clark would have dealt with. I mean, just kind of crazy. So it was very difficult to get to Oregon from southern Illinois. John the Baptist, as we know, and we have talked about as an Advent icon, a personification of the season of Advent, his job is to do this. Isaiah prophesies about John the Baptist quite some time before John was born, hundreds and hundreds of years. And he talks about the Lord is going to prepare a way. He's going to lower hills, and he's going to raise up valleys, and he's going to make it so there's a smooth way to for the people to receive God. Advent is the time where we want God to smooth out and get paths ready in our own hearts, our own souls, for him. Now, maybe even better than the physical descriptions that I just mentioned, for our sake of talking about us being capable of being in relationship with God and having this really close, easy relationship with God, is talking relationally. Because God, ultimately, is someone who wants to have a relationship with us. We talk about rules, which we should. We talk about God's law, which we should. But the point of those things is relationship, so that we can keep an easy flow in our relationship with God. Now, if anyone in here, which I'm sure probably most of us, have had loved ones, friends, or maybe even just acquaintances who have fallen into vicious habits, that is to say vices, of, let's say, excessive drug use, where a person might be on drugs all the time, either mildly, mild or more serious drugs, or maybe they have an addiction to alcohol or some other vice. We know when those persons have those things going on, it's almost like a wall between us and them. It's like a big, thick barrier. And we can't really be with them in the way that we want to be with them. It's blocking us from being with them. So this, of course, is what John is trying to remove. This kind of barrier between people so that they can receive Jesus when he comes. And so John's primary message is a very basic, classic, biblical message. Repent from your sins. Repent from your sins. Repentance from our sins basically means removing things that keep us outside of our relationship with God. We call those things sins. The fact of the matter is, before we talk about anything else and having an open access for God to meet us, it's important that we first and foremost examine our consciences. Now, God does not need us to be perfect. God does not need us to be perfect to love us. God loves us regardless of where we're at, where we are at, period. Even if we are in the however many billions of people are on the earth right now, if we're number one, the worst out of those billions, God still loves us. But we can lock ourselves in a hellish-like state of isolation where we are not available or open to that love and that relationship. Now, if we lock ourselves in that, ourselves by our own choices, our own selfish choices, if we live in the prisons of our own egos, then ultimately, and then we die in that state, then we go to hell. That's what hell is. Hell is unrepented prison of our egos. It's isolation. If we die in a place, in a state, where we are open to repentance and friendship with God, we go to heaven. That's basically how it works. And so, the first thing we want to do to prepare ourselves, according to John's message of repentance, is to kind of do an examination. Are there any patterns in my life and habits that are explicitly moving against God's laws that he has given us? Are there any I am intentionally and okay perpetrating these particular things in my life? That will be a barrier. Now, that's different if we're actually trying to fight that bad habit, sin, etc. Those are different circumstances. the difference between trying and just giving into the pattern or the habit is kind of everything from the perspective of God. And it's everything from the perspective of being able to be spiritual, free, joyful people. Just the trying part. God asks us to look both at the intellect and the will, which are the two powers of the soul. The intellect, or what makes a soul, it's intellect and will. We're rational creatures, created in God's own image and likeness, and we have free will. And so God asks us to try, to the best of our ability, to submit those two things, the intellect and the will, to Him in order to be free and in order to experience joy. Not because God is a tyrant or a taskmaster by any means, but because we are created intentionally. Unlike what the culture tells us, we cannot create our own meaning, our own value. We cannot create our own sexuality, which is one of the major lies and heresies of our time. We are created in God's image and likeness. Should we submit ourselves in obedience to God who created us out of pure love, intellect, and will, should we submit ourselves, then we will be able to be what we were created to be, which ends up meaning that we will experience joy. And you can experience joy under all circumstances. Even when you're suffering and you're not happy. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Joy is the soul be in a state where it is becoming what it is made to become. It's like playing a note in a musical instrument as it's supposed to be played within the bigger song. It's like a harmony with creation. It's a harmony with yourself. It's a harmony with God. That's joy. If you read some of the letters of some of the great martyrs, I think in here, sticking with the Lewis and Clark example, if you read any of the North American martyrs who died really, really brutal, not mentionable even in a church right now with kids present, very bad deaths. According to the natives of that time, some of the vicious tribes, as they were just trying to announce the gospel of Jesus, they were met with such great hostility. We have some letters from them, some of them, and the letters are just incredible. These guys are filled with joy as they're about to meet their own death. That's because their souls are in harmony with the rest of creation. They're becoming what they are meant to become. And so, finally, when the church says something about a teaching, we should take that very seriously. We don't want to fall into what is very common in our cultures, is we kind of live according to the beat of our own drums. We want to take God seriously. We want to take His revelation seriously. We want to take the church, the Catholic Church, very seriously. We don't want to be cafeteria Catholics. Taking one thing here, and I'm not so into that food. I'm going to leave that one there. We want to experience the joy that God has created us for. We want to submit our intellects and our wills to Him. This is what John is offering. And that's why these people have to come out to the desert rather than going into the city. John doesn't go to them. They come to John in this instance. Because there's a purification of the ego and there's a powerlessness with which we must approach God. We don't dictate the terms when it comes to our relationship with God. God is the creator. God is the potter. We are the pot, as Isaiah says. It's ridiculous for a pot to say to the potter, this is scriptural, this is what Isaiah says, I don't like the way you made me. No, you were created perfect. What God desires is to draw us into this perfection, to recreate us in the person of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless us and prepare us in this last week and a couple days that we have left before the Christmas celebration begins. Help us to repent during the season of Advent, to receive and live into and lean into Advent graces. Through Christ our Lord, amen. St. John the Baptist, pray for us.